This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row. Ash, I get to see you again.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It is nice.
I like you with glasses.
Yeah, I'm wearing glasses right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of my new thing because I noticed my eyes were getting tired because I was looking at a computer screen too much. And so my optometrist, Mitch Reinholt in Warsaw, Indiana, said...
Shout out to him.
Oh, he's a good dude. Been a friend since I was little.
Aww.
He was the captain of my elementary basketball team.
Oh, that's so cute.
He said if I got these glasses that have like this, I don't know, computer screen protection,
yeah,
and a little bit of prescription, then my eyes wouldn't get as tired. So yeah, at night, I feel good.
That's the new thing, is getting that protection on there. Also, I've been reading that the light from a screen, whether it's your computer or your phone,
yeah,
can actually damage your skin. Like,
no
now
way.
New skin products are putting like technology light protection in them.
This is a good point. So I think everybody in here will shake their heads in agreement. I think in 10 years we'll find out that cell phones are really bad for us.
I think we're gonna find that out too. I remember when cell phones like really started to get popular, you know,
yeah,
like early 2000s, and everybody was like, oh, it's gonna create brain tumors, like there are ladies,
yeah,
I remember my mom being like, there is a lady and she got a brain tumor right where she holds her phone. And yeah, I think it might happen. It's really, really scary.
It is. And so what are we gonna do about it? Because here's
I don't know.
I actually was just talking to a few friends the other day, and they made a comment that happens often, right? But this one hit me. They said, she was older. She has a daughter who's in college. She said, my daughter is more addicted to her cell phone than anything else in life. And I'm thinking, an addiction to a cell phone, is that a possibility? And it is.
Of course.
There's so many people today that hold that thing so close to them, around them, that it's going to take a medical breakthrough or just some knowledge being spread for that to stop. And I feel like we should just kind of campaign to put your cell phone away and down. Can this podcast put a firm stance on, hey, put your cell phone down, put it away after you listen to the podcast?
Put it in your pocket. Like, I'm so bad that if it's not in my butt pocket or in my hand and it's just like loose in my purse, I get worried about it being loose in my purse.
Really?
That's, yeah.
Wow.
That's how close it needs to be to me.
Can
and
we,
I don't know why.
Ashley,
like,
can
everything's
we work on
backed
this?
Up on iCloud. It's not as if
yeah,
I like I'm gonna lose everything if I lose the phone.
Can we work on this? Can I hold you accountable to maybe putting it away and putting it down for a while?
I totally believe in that in social situations, but not during the work
week. We're
going
to work on this. We've got some proving to do.
If I may.
Yeah. This is Mark.
Thank you. My wife just had a salivary gland tumor removed. And if you Google those, you'll see that they have really gone up in the past 20 years.
It was in your mouth.
Right there on the side, right by her ear. It was benign and everything's fine. But those have skyrocketed in the past 20 years. And no doctor will tell you it's because of cell phones because they don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine any other correlation than that.
Oh, my
wow.
goodness.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was a major surgery and a real drag.
We should at least take this really serious.
Yeah, I think so. And now there's the information that the blue light from tablets, laptops, phones are causing us to go blind.
I think this might be the marker of this last 10, 15 years. You know, we've learned what fat-free products are bad for you. We've learned, you know, that trans fats are, we've learned all these stuff, the oils, gluten, all these things keep coming up now. It's kind of a really interesting time period to live in.
I think gluten is BS, but okay.
The gluten great. Thing. That's going to be the fun for thing. The emails. Yes. Wow. Really excited for that one.
Well, I mean, I understand if you have a gluten allergy or an intolerance, but like the average person doesn't have to abstain from gluten.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the thing. I think I'm with Mark. I'm with all of you that it's going to be an issue. But so think about it. Anybody out there, just think about it. We love you. We want you to be happy and healthy.
I guess this is part of getting older, but like I first started to need glasses while driving at the age of like 24.
Yeah.
And now it's like, holy crap. I can see during the day, but at night I can't read any signs.
Yeah.
It's so weird. So
this
maybe it's the light, or maybe it's just because my phone is always right here in my face.
Yeah, this is a really good one, especially for the, you know, for the people in this room to be talking about, because cell phones are such a vital piece of our income, our lives, our communication, you know, for really anybody out there. So let's say that the Almost Famous Podcast believes in putting your cell phones down, putting them away for at least a couple hours at night. Hey, Ash, we got a huge, huge podcast. One of, I would say, the superstars from the Bachelor franchise. Melissa Rycroft is going to be in studio with us today.
She really is a she's a huge name to that came out of the show. Like, wow. And it was when she was engaged to Jason Mesnick for a little bit. And she really took off with hosting and her big television career. It was like, unlike anyone else.
Yeah. I wonder how Jason feels about that.
I don't think he cares.
Okay. He's pretty happy. So we're going to talk to Melissa Rycroft. We're going to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. Things are getting heated. Things are getting crazy. But beyond all that, love is being formed.
Yeah, sure is.
It's pretty exciting. So we'll talk that, walk through, and we're listening to some emails. Let's read some emails today.
We haven't done emails in a while.
We haven't done emails in a while.
I love emails.
And it's one of our favorite things. And finally, a very short but very important segment.
One of our favorite guests ever on the podcast. We're just going to keep having him back because his, I don't want to call them arguments, but
yeah, we're going to call this segment, we're going to call it Chicken Nuggets with David Rappitz.
Because you did say, you guys, that you wanted him back, that he should have a weekly spot. So here he is.
And I'm not happy with him. I'm not happy with him. I'm not at all. I think the guy has so much potential. I do like him. He just continues to dig himself a hole. We have so much to break down with him. I'm just not thrilled with David right now.
I want to talk to David's ex-girlfriend, if he has one.
I think he does. I mean, I don't know. Chicken Nuggets with David Rappitz, Melissa Rycroft, breaking down this week's episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. It's a huge show. But before we get to Melissa, hey, Ash, I'm allergic to latex. You know that?
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You know how I found out?
Condom. I can only imagine.
No,
oh.
no, Ashley, come on. It's the Live Strong bands.
No yeah. way. That's
my arms. We swelled up, got all red, got all.
How old were you?
Young. Yeah. What was that? 10?
Those things. Not 10. I think I was a junior in college when those were hot. So you were a sophomore.
Oh. Okay, so I was like 6, 17, 18.
Sorry,
know, like
20. I'm the queen of correcting people when it comes to like age and timeline.
I don't know any timelines.
I don't know why.
I can tell you that it happened. I can't tell you when. So anyways, I'm allergic to latex.
So it was before condoms.
I can't wear latex anymore. It's a big deal to me. But I wonder if I could, if the bracelets or whatever you put on your body that's made out of latex were made out of natural latex, I wonder if it would work. Hmm. And hey, for anybody out there listening, you get to do what you want in your private time.
Your awkwardness leading into this ad is perfection.
But I mean, I don't know what else to do it. Like, hey, do we support this? Do we support sex before marriage? Do we support? We'll talk about it. We support talking about it. We support you making
now
your
you're
own.
Making this a bigger issue than it really is.
Because it's going to be one. Hey, but we have a sponsor that's sure to mix things up a bit. We are standing against the gluten intolerance, and we're standing in support of Lola. You've probably heard us talking about Lola, a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners, which is actually really great. One of my favorite parts about this podcast is talking to you and getting educated from you and our guests on, you know, what exactly women have to deal with monthly, weekly, daily, or whatever. It's been good for me. I'm a better man because of it.
Yeah. So, like, are you aware that sometimes our flow is different throughout our period?
I am now.
Oh, well, well, that's why Lola's awesome, because they have a subscription. So you can choose a mix of absorbency tampons or pads, the number that you'll need in a box, the frequency that you'll need them delivered. It's a subscription that's flexible, and you can change, skip, or cancel it at any time. And the Sex by Lola products are gynecologist approved.
Well, that's the exciting part of this. Yeah. Is Lola, we've talked about with everything so far, they now offer sex products.
Right. And they're gynecologist approved, and it's going to help you maintain a healthy pH balance. You're probably like, what? Girls have to maintain a healthy pH balance? What is this, a pool? But you know what? It is important. And Lola is amazing because with every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. But now they have sex products, and I'm going to let you take this.
Yeah, I got it. So, I mean, we're not naive. People out there are having sex. Right? I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I think babies are still being born. So if you're out there having sex, please do it responsibly. Do it in the healthiest manner. And Lola can help you do that. Condoms, ultra-thin lubricated condoms made of natural rubber latex and individually tested for contraception and STI protection. The ultra-thin design and premium medical-grade silicone oil lubricant ensures safety without sacrificing sensation. They also have personal lubricant featuring a mess-free one-click pump system. Their water-based formula is hypoallergenic. Not to come off naive here. Is lubricant like a popular thing?
This is a whole other conversation. Have you never used?
No, I can't say I have.
Oh, interesting.
Is that like a thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Okay. Well, good for you then. Hey, so if you're out there using it, I'm learning as I go. If it's a thing, then we have the solution for you. Okay? Their one-click, no-mess system is water-based formula of hypoallergenic and made with 95% organic ingredients to create a long-lasting lubricant that is perfectly mimics natural feminine moisture.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a gross word. Moisture.
No, nobody likes it.
And maintains a healthy pH balance. Let me just repeat that line because I kind of like saying it. Organic ingredients to create a long-lasting lubricant that perfectly mimics natural feminine moisture and maintains a healthy pH balance. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Bachelor Pod when you subscribe. Again, that's Bachelor Pod.
Not pad, pod.
Pod. You know, it's kind of a play on words there. That's mylola.com, promo code BACHELORPOD for 40% off all subscriptions.
You guys, if you just skipped over that ad, you should definitely go back and listen to it.
Oh, jeez. All right. Hey, Melissa Rycroft, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Oh, thanks, guys.
This is a big deal to have you here.
Is it? Us.
Yeah, it really is.
Why is that? Because I'm an OG.
You are OG, but you're also like not
old.
You're only 35.
Oh, thank you for saying only 35.
No, oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah,
look at
really
what
young.
You've accomplished. You have 3 kids.
I get a lot of the, you look good for 35.
No.
Oh, man.
No,
oh,
you look incredible.
Thanks.
You look great.
I'll let you take that
35.
One, actually.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. But you have 3 kids, and you have created this amazing media career for yourself after, you know, being dumped by Jason.
You know, it's all about timing, right?
Yeah.
It happened. Thankfully, somebody got hurt. Not thankfully, somebody got hurt on Dancing with the Stars, but you know what I mean.
Can we start at the beginning?
Sure.
Because when you're coming in here, I was saying your name is everywhere. You're very popular. You've done a great job for yourself kind of moving on from the franchise, which I'm sure, you know, after the heartbreak you needed to do. But for all the fans out there listening, can you give us a quick recap on how they would know you, what your story is in relation with the Bachelor franchise, and kind of where you're at now?
You want a recap of that?
Yeah.
That's like 11 years of history, right?
Yeah. I want your bio.
Give it to us.
Let's see. I was on The Bachelor 11, 12 years ago. I had a friend nominate me because I was going through a 7-year breakup. What?
What season?
7-year breakup?
I was with a guy.
Oh, you
wasn't
been broke.
In a guy.
Oh.
I was with a guy.
Okay, you're with a guy for 7 years, and then he broke up
for
with
for 7
him.
Years. We broke up.
Ow.
Constantly getting broken up with for 7 years.
Yeah. Well, felt like that. So a friend nominated me, and I don't know how they do it now. I got a packet in the mail and filled it out, had to make a video, and
pretty much
kind of said, I'll go with it and see. Life in Dallas wasn't really treating me well at the time. I was 24.
Who was your bachelor?
Jason. Jason Mesnick, he had the boy, the little one, Ty, my ex's name. That was fun.
Ooh, that's
that was
awkward.
Good. Plot twist.
Yeah.
And yeah, through the process, we got engaged. And sometime between then and the after the final rose.
You're just like, nah.
No.
Oh.
He did.
Oh, he said nah.
I guess was talking to the runner up.
I thought that it was like
shocking.
More mutual. No, I thought it was more mutual. That's why.
We call it an Ari, pulling an Ari.
No, yeah.
Well, the only difference was, and maybe everybody knew, but mine was on the after the final rose.
Yeah.
Moved up the tape date.
That's
and
right.
I'm like, gosh, why did they move up the tape date? I don't understand. We weren't supposed to tape this for another month. And lo and behold, he had been telling producers, hey, I'm talking to Molly, I'd like to start a relationship with her. So, of course, producers are like, gold, don't tell Mel. Let's get this all on camera.
Did you feel like you were on the rocks, though?
I mean, I'll be honest, it wasn't great.
Okay.
But in my mind, I'm like, listen, it's weird right now. The show's kind of airing, and it's, you know, you come out of it going, I'm engaged. I can't tell anybody I'm engaged. So it's a weird reality of, my life has changed, but I can't act like it's changed. It's a weird mind trip, let's be honest.
Were you guys still hanging out?
No. Oh. We didn't have time.
You didn't have, like, happy couple weekends?
We didn't have time for those. Yeah. Mm. There wasn't much time difference between when I accepted a proposal and when he took it away.
Oh, gosh.
This is crazy. We just saw this year. We just talked about
it. Yeah, it just happened again.
It just happened again. So you're on The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt, probably, to get broken up with.
You know, it was embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
More than anything. And what was embarrassing for me is I was looking at everybody, Chris Harrison, everybody going, you all knew why I was coming.
Oh. Mm.
They put me in a dress that I didn't bring. They put me in that little tight tube top. They gave me my engagement ring and sent me out on stage. And so I was like, oh. Ouch.
Whoa. TV hurts.
It does.
But that's sort of what happened to Becca at the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little different when it's at the house and not in front of an audience.
Here's one theme I see. The person that gets broken up with in this situation typically does okay for themselves.
You do have people rooting for you when that happens. Absolutely.
And so they know you from Jason Mesnick's season.
Mm-hmm.
You were the person that got broken up with. And from there on out, your career has skyrocketed to incredible places.
Crazy.
I mean, The Bachelor wasn't your last reality television show. You did, you're a fan favorite with Dancing with the Stars. You got put on Dancing with the Stars because of an injury, correct?
Yes. And that was the timing thing I was telling you about. Because after the final rose aired Monday, somebody got hurt on Tuesday. And it just happened. It was on ABC. And I'm sure they were like, oh my gosh, this just happened. We need this girl.
Well, that's so good.
Perfect timing.
But you didn't get the Bachelorette role.
They asked.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell us more.
I was just really mad. Again, I had no time to process it. I was in the limo crying, walking away from that. And one of the producers went, but now you get to be Bachelorette. And I'll never forget that moment because I went, did you not just see what happened to me? And now you're telling me the good news is I can be Bachelorette. And you guys have to keep in mind, this is 11 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no social media. There's none of that. People didn't go on the show and get careers out of it. You know, I mean, it was just kind of something silly that you did. And so they tried for a month, I think, to really get me to do it. And they kept saying, the audience needs to see you're okay, and they're going to be rooting for you. But I'm like, I just saw you throw your bachelor under the bus, and you made everybody really angry at him. And I don't trust the system right now, and I don't trust you. I'm over, obviously. That's so then. But at the time, that was my mind space. So I didn't want
to
be.
If you're not over, this is the place to say you're not.
Well, can I lay on a couch? Like, is there a therapy session?
Hey, Ben, I have a question on that. Would you say that the producers just have to focus on making a TV show rather than get so emotionally invested in it? Otherwise, you can't make a TV show.
Yeah, there's a weird, I think, balance there. I think you mostly 80%, 90% have to make a TV show. That's their job. That's why they're there. That's what it's going to keep them going. Mm-hmm. I get that. They're storytellers on anybody's love story, and they're just kind of picking up the pieces or picking up the story as it goes and documenting it.
Absolutely.
But there's a little piece that I hope they care, because I can't imagine them walking into this year over year over year without caring at all about the personal feelings and emotions from the people. I think that's what continues to motivate them to say, okay, I'm not a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's important that they care, and I have seen, I think, real tears from a producer once or twice.
You did?
I think so.
Like a unicorn.
It's wild. Like, not the fake ones that you're like in an interview, you're like, you got me. It's like, no, you actually like feel for this person right now. So yeah, I think it's a good balance. And in your case, it hurt. This was real life, mm-hmm. but it all kind of comes back together, because you're doing okay.
I'm doing all right.
Don't we have to blame Jason a little bit for going along with that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that they were going to force him into that situation.
No.
Like, even Ari was like, I'll do it on camera, but I'm not going to do it in front of people. And, like,
here's where
I defend
Jason, though. And again, this is after the fact, having had a lot of closure and thinking about
it. And now he's married to this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I think Jason didn't know any better either. I think we were in an age where a producer told you something and you went, okay, I think he was probably told by some higher up, don't tell her, the audience is going to want to see this. And he said, okay, if that's really what you think is best, then I'll do it. And I think he got kind of blindsided with doing what he's told as opposed to doing probably what was the right thing, which would have been just to give me a little heads up. But, you know, I don't ultimately blame him. He certainly didn't want this.
How did you feel about the way they handled the Ari situation? Similar but yet different. Like, what were your thoughts when that came down?
If you want me to be honest, I feel like they got so much backlash on what happened with me because it was so set up and because the audience knew that everybody knew what was going on except me, which made it look really bad to the audience. So what they changed this time is let's not set it up mm-hmm. to where it's the after the final rose. Let's just make it think that it's just Becca and Ari having this conversation. So she's not blindsided in front of a ton of people.
Yeah.
It's an intimate setting. Yeah. And so I think that there probably was a little damage control after knowing what the decision was going to be made. Like Ari was going to switch. And they said, let's do this in a way that won't have.
It's more tasteful.
Sure.
I was there at the finale with Jason. And I know he still is haunted by that last episode with you. He's still getting criticism for
it. Yeah, that's the thing.
Twitter was not nice to him that night.
No, I don't think that, and that's why I have to defend him in this, because I don't think he would have asked for any. I mean, it's been 10 years, and people still, he's so awful. He's a terrible person. Yeah. I don't think he is. I think he got wrapped up in a bad situation.
A decade,
and people are still like, oh, hey, you pulled a Mesnick.
But could you imagine what happened with me and him happened now?
Oh,
right?
My God. Could you imagine?
No.
Well, we just kind of saw it. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
very similar.
It's different. It's a little different. But you found your husband, like, very soon after being dumped by Jason.
We dated before.
And you went back to him how soon after?
So after the final rose aired and done, I went back home. He had been trying to get back together with me, but I was not. What?
Did seeing you on TV make him want you
not
back?
Not seeing me on TV, knowing I was gone. Because my problem with Ty, who's my husband now, when we dated, is that he could always kind of keep me at arm's length, and like, we didn't have to be together, but if he called, I was there.
Totally.
I did not have the ability to cut the cord. So thankfully, The Bachelor made me cut the cord. You know, you have to turn in your phone and stuff. So I legit.
Did you marry the guy from the 7-year breakup?
No.
Okay.
No. Thankfully.
This is crazy. I mean, really, we've talked about it before. Being on the show oftentimes cultivates this new level of like romance for you, and it opens you up to say, I do really want to find somebody. Mm-hmm. And you enter into that stage of life. So you enter into this new relationship now with your husband, mm-hmm. and Dancing with Stars happens. It goes really well. What was your finish on Dancing with Stars?
First time, third.
Third.
And you came back for the all-time championship.
All-star, yeah.
And how'd you do that?
We won.
You won.
We won.
You are a Dance with the Stars champion.
I am.
That's impressive.
We have a legit star.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that. I have a trophy, though.
That's incredible. Good for you. And so now you're entering into this whole new stage with something that I think you're really passionate about. You're on CMT. Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team. Tell us more about this.
Well, obviously, that's where everything kind of started for me. When I was right out of college, I became a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
So you're a good dancer.
Good dancer, good faker. How about that?
Okay.
I can fake my way through it.
You should see it. It's really awesome.
He's quite something.
I'm a good dancer.
I like to watch him dance.
Sure, yeah. I'm looking at her face.
Yeah, see? She likes to watch me dance, which would make me a great cheerleader. Yeah. Because all these 50,000 people would love to watch me dance.
Would you wear the white shorts?
I would wear anything they want. Yeah. Anything they want me in, I would wear because I'm a good dancer. Yeah, right there's a picture of you as a Dallas Cowboys.
So
I would look good in that outfit.
Hot. You're so hot.
The midriff for me would be a little awkward.
The midriff?
I got away from, we've talked about it. I've got away from manscaping a little bit.
Because you're single.
Because I'm single. And then based on the show, that one of the executive producers was like, it's no longer cool to shave. Like to
who told you that?
Alon Gale.
Well, look at Alon. His whole head.
Okay. And so I just haven't in like 3 years.
Okay.
And so the shorts with the midriff showing might be a little much for anybody watching. But for me, I would feel very confident and comfortable.
That's all that matters. Confidence is really 90% of it.
Are there any men on the team?
Not on the Cowboys.
Never.
Mm-mm.
And never on an NFL team.
There are. I wish I knew off the top of my head.
Really?
Yes. There's a group that have men. It's interesting, right? But I think it's a conversation people are having because the social tides, they are a turning.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are afraid to say, no, guys can't do that.
No.
It's for women.
The Rams and Saints both have male cheerleaders this year.
I love having a voice in our ear. There we go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, that's new. Yeah. Go to St. Louis.
It's new this year, huh?
Make your dreams come true.
Okay, so this is for men
but
and
the Rams
women.
Are in Los Angeles.
No, no, no,
Angeles
no,
now.
No, 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 no. It's all good.
So let's talk Cowboys. I got it.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the show. So this starts for you as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader mm-hmm. years ago. Well, how long ago? 12 years ago?
2006.
Yeah, 12 years
year.
Ago. Good. 12 years ago. Good guess, Ben. And you go on the show, all this happens as we just talked about, and now you're back. You're back mm-hmm. in Dallas on CMTs, yep. dancing Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, making the team. Why should people tune into this?
I've been working with them now for 5 years. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but
I've seen it a couple times.
I think the fascination with this show is that you have a group of girls like the Cowboys cheerleaders, and there's always been this facade of like they're just these pretty girls out there with pom-poms. And what the show does, it kind of pulls back the curtain and lets you see. It's like the inner workings of a reality show. You mm-hmm. know, people are so interested to know what really happens. And so it kind of takes you through the tryout process, and it's a 3-month training camp. And you get to know the girls and you root for them. And unfortunately, some of them don't make the team. You know, 10 mm-hmm. girls get cut through training camp. But it's just, it's an interesting look at what it takes to make a team like that.
How many girls are on the team?
36.
36. It makes me feel like I'm back doing basketball or volleyball tryouts in high school.
Yeah.
It's just like stressful. It's a feeling very unique. A very unique
did
feeling.
Did you make the team, Ashley?
No, okay. Both I didn't make it.
No, not even volleyball.
No, no. Didn't really try hard for volleyball. My mom made me do that. She's like, you're going to get active your first year, freshman year.
Get active.
Yeah, you're going to get active and involved. And I was like, I don't want to be involved.
Being a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader is a pretty big deal, right?
It is a big deal, and especially if you're in the Dallas area from which I am. I mean, it's a big thing.
But you don't make any money. It's like a novelty thing, right?
You don't get rich off of it. No. I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody really does it to become millionaires. You know, it's supposed to be a part-time job, but the other perks that you get from it with the evolution of social media and the show is these girls have a built-in audience, and they can kind of do anything they want afterwards.
Did you know that Jasmine from The Bachelor was also a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader?
I did. I was actually working with them during tryouts when Jasmine was, I think, completing her fifth year.
Oh, wow. She was there for 5 years.
She was there a long time.
And like, this isn't, I mean, you have a pretty, like, talented group of women trying out for this spot. I mean, this season alone, which is crazy and going to be super exciting to watch, there's a huge talent of rookies, as it says here. Seasoned cheerleaders from the NFL, NBA, mm-hmm. and NHL, Miss America 2017 runner-up, professional hip-hop dancers, and a former competitive ice skater are all trying for these spots. And this is the crazy part of this. At the end of the day, their fate rests in the hands of Kelly Finglass and you.
Well, Judy, too, the choreographer. That just rolled off the tongue so easy, that knowledge that you have.
It's crazy.
There's
I'm
only
a huge
three.
Fan of the show.
I can tell. I can tell.
I mean, really, like all of these people who have crazy stories, mm-hmm. amazing backgrounds, their pedigrees are some of the top in the world, and they're coming in and their fate sits in your hands. How much pressure do you feel?
Well, it's a ton of pressure. I mean, in the world of dance, if it's a world that you appreciate, I mean, this is the highest level that you can get. So there are girls that come from other professional teams. We've had girls come from Broadway. We have the runner-up from Miss USA. I mean, it attracts them all over. And me now being on the other side of it, I look at these girls going, God, y'all are so little. You know, mm-hmm. some of them are as young as 18 mm-hmm. years old, you know, and they're such at an impressionable age that I don't want to be the one to tell them, you're not going to make it. But coming into tryouts, you know, there's only like 11 spots available because you have the veterans that are returning. Most of them are usually guaranteed to come back. Some mm-hmm. of them don't. But there's hundreds of girls that come in 11 spots. It's just, it's the reality of it.
Can we get Ashley on the show?
No way.
You should.
That's my childhood dream of being a cheerleader, and then I never tried out for it.
Because I just wasn't popular, and I felt like you had to be the popular
girl. You don't have to be popular. No. You just got to shake your palms.
Well, I'm bad at moving, too.
Actually, like,
I'm very poorly coordinated.
I'll do it if you do it.
I mean, yeah, then I would do it for the sake of seeing you do it and then not make it. And you'd probably do way better than me.
Yeah, we'll see. What gets you fired up about this show? I mean, because it's obviously in the world that we're living today, mm-hmm. Everything's scrutinized. We're really trying, I think. We're in a generation that's or in a time period that's really trying to do things right. And I know this show is really in support of healthy eating habits, mm-hmm. a healthy diet. You know, it's really kind of confronting the body image conversation and trying to make it a healthy conversation.
Yep.
What role do you play in that?
Well, this year I'm really proud. In the past, you know, there has been a lot of criticism on how much emphasis is placed on the body and the figure and not so much on the health part of it. And I think mm-hmm. that's true. I think sometimes when you're an outsider looking in, all you see is a bunch of skinny girls that have to fit into a uniform. And in reality, all I can speak for is on this squad is they don't necessarily just want a skinny stick figure girl. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to be strong. You have at the beginning of the game, 5-minute routine, kick line, and then you're dancing all 4 hours of the game. And that takes strength and it takes mm-hmm. stamina, you know, and you can't be a waif who doesn't eat. Not to mention it doesn't really look good. And I don't mean to say that, but, you know, abnormally unhealthy skinny does not look good. And so this season they really are focusing on helping some of the girls get healthy so that they can be good performers.
Yeah. That's great.
I mean, that's huge. I'm hearing more and more, and I'm just thinking I'm in for this. I think I eat pretty well.
You're training for a marathon.
Well, I kind of stopped.
Are you training for a marathon?
I stopped. No, I just got busy. But I mean, as we speak, I'm drinking.
You're drinking something green.
A green juice that has a ton of stuff in it, and so I think I'm pretty healthy.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you are too. Yeah. You just said that you would spend all your money at Whole Foods if you had the opportunity.
I would, and I'm still going to try to finish this triathlon. That's still like
triathlon. Why don't you try a marathon?
That's not something you can just go do, right?
No, I'm gonna train. I've been traveling for a couple weeks.
Okay,
guys, get off my back.
I'm not on your back.
You know, it just is getting aggressive. I feel like I'm just asking. I'm feeling a little insecure right now. I need to go out and run a little bit.
All right, well, Melissa, thank you so much for being here. It's Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team. It premieres Thursdays. Well, does it premiere? Or is
it's
it already
on?
Premiered? Yeah,
it's right
that.
Okay.
It is on CMT at 10, 9 Central on Thursdays, and it's the highest rated season to date, so congratulations. You're killing it.
They're good.
13 seasons. Melissa Rycroft, congratulations on taking something that could have been just really sad.
Yeah.
And you could have played the victim, and you could have just gone in the corner quietly and cried, and instead you put your stake down, you said, I'm going to do something.
I screamed loud.
Great. And you have. And
I
then
you
look
think
at
it all happened for a reason. Sorry to cut you
no,
off.
No, yeah.
Ask another question. But like, you know how everybody says, oh, everything happens for a reason. And like, you'll know one day. Like, do you really believe that like you probably wouldn't have married your husband had not for.
Yeah, I do. Because I don't think I ever would have cut the cord. You know, I think I just would have been that girl that eventually that relationship would have worn out. I wouldn't have the career that I have either. You know, honestly, I mean, I owe everything to that one
and exactly
experience.
The way it went down.
Yeah, and I've even heard an interview with Jason and Molly where Molly said she's like, I don't know if we would be together if he had picked me right off the bat.
That needed to go through a little bit of weird chill.
So I think it's like it was kind of a lull in all of our lives, and then we come out of it going, all right, there you go, a little embarrassment.
And when just for like people listening, because in life, the one thing about The Bachelor is like it's just a heightened version of life. When did you realize that? Like, when did you start to feel better? Was it after Dancing with the Stars when you, like, said to yourself, oh, maybe this is happening for a reason?
No.
When did you start to kind of feel better and go, oh, maybe I can see why this went down?
I think it was after we had filmed our After the Final Rose, after everything had happened, and the show was airing. And you guys can attest to, it's a really weird time when a show is airing, and it's 3 months since it's actually happened to you in real life. Mm-hmm. And I'm essentially living in a bubble of all these emotions. I had the happiest moment in my life getting engaged. Then the most embarrassing happened in a 2-week span, and I have nobody to talk to about it. And so you're like in this warped space. And all I had to do from the time that the show started airing until when everybody was going to find out what happened was to kind of sit and marinate over what the heck has just happened in my life. And you know what? That's kind of when I got some confidence. And I went, you know what? I'm kind of done fighting for people to want me and like me, and I can't make anybody happy if I can't make myself happy. All that stuff that you hear, that was the time in my life when it actually hit me. And it's funny because once that happened is when everything in my life changed.
And you spoke a lot of truth there. I'm sitting here thinking, because you know, a lot of our stories on the show are very similar,
mm-hmm.
and it really does make you introspective and start to think about yourself and process yourself and listen to the criticism enough to know that some of it's truth and a lot of it's not, but like understand that you're not going to ever make everybody
happy. It's a hard thing to it's one thing to say it to yourself. It's another thing to actually get to a place where you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making everyone happy, you're probably boring.
Jennifer Lopez can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Oh, she makes me happy.
Me too. Me too.
she's something else. Melissa, for all of your success, and like we said, it's the highest rated season to date on Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders making the team. You're Dancing with the Stars champion. You successfully completed the Bachelor franchise. Do you feel like sitting here in this room right now is the moment you really feel like you've made it?
This is it. This is it. I mean, this is Instagram post worthy. Let's be honest.
This is amazing. We're going to get a picture after this. Melissa Rycroft, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
That was really great.
She's killing it.
She really is. She's doing a great job. She's so cute.
Yeah, she is.
You're like, wish she was single.
She has like mom hair.
I mean, I can appreciate a cute, a beautiful, put together, like, successful woman. Mm-hmm. Like, I can appreciate her and just say.
You can appreciate her?
Yeah. Like, I would love for my wife to be like Melissa one day.
Aww. She has sexy mom hair.
She does.
Can I say that?
You can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, is that acceptable? We've talked about this. Is it acceptable for me to say she has sexy mom hair?
Yeah, totally. In this case, yes. And there's not, like, a lot of people that can, like, make that haircut sexy, and she does.
You were just talking about it. We have so much to talk about. Ashley and Melissa were just out earlier today talking, and I overheard a conversation about they wear their hair. I thought it was because they were saying their husbands and significant others like it in a certain style and color. And they're like, now we kind of gave that up. But you're still kind of in the stage with Jared where you're wearing your hair a certain way because he likes it.
Well, he likes it short and I like it short too. But he'd also be, I'm sure he'd think it was really hot if it was super long. It's just that in
he just
between
you're hot.
That's like, ugh.
He just
but he always says that it's maybe. But he says that he likes it shorter than long. So.
Yeah, so
like
anybody
that.
Out there listening, make sure you email us at benandashleyiheartmedia.com. Let us know why you choose to wear your hair the way you do. I'm just trying to get educated. I'm trying to get edumacated today.
We can talk about this.
Yeah, because I think hair like fashion, not right now, obviously.
It's not right now for me either.
Because I'm wearing the worst outfit of all time right now. But typically I dress to look cute for boys.
Yeah.
As opposed to like being so fashion forward where it's like clearly it's for girls.
So a lot of girls will say, most girls will say that they dress for girls. I am not one of them. I will dress the way that I think Jared thinks it's cutest that I dress.
Me too. I agree.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. But if you want to talk about makeup, which we should totally talk about guys' preferences on makeup amounts after we talk about something that's going to make my stomach so growly because I'm really hungry right now.
We have a segment coming up called Chicken Nuggets, but before we do that, we got to talk about something else that shares chicken. Blue Apron. Blue Apron's back. We love Blue Apron. They've been around for a while. They support us. We love them. They love us. We're just one big happy family.
Yeah.
We both use Blue Apron often. I use Blue Apron all the time.
Yeah, I'm really excited for my September shipment.
Especially with the kids going back to school. You got to do the home cooked meal. You don't have time. You're doing carpool. You're doing homework. You're doing all these things.
Yeah.
You can use Blue Apron and have a home cooked meal.
With fresh ingredients.
Easy.
Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. Like Amy was saying, kids are going back to school. You're in a rush. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. That's why we love them.
That is why we love them, because they're quick and easy recipe options. They're perfectly portioned ingredients delivered right to your door. Blue Apron makes dinner quick, easy, and super, super tasty. Skip meal planning and get straight to cooking with Blue Apron. Experience the joy of summer because all their menu options are seasonal, so they have grilling favorites for the summer. They're seasonally inspired ingredients and mouth-watering grilling options, including chicken with barbecue sauce, juicy cheeseburgers with spicy slaw. It's not boring. It's not like regular coleslaw. It's spicy slaw. And these are chef-designed recipes with exciting partnerships, like they have done one with Chrissy Teigen, and now they're doing one with Bob's Burgers and Master Chef.
It's I don't think chicken
Bob's
nuggets would be
burgers.
Included.
How cute is that?
Bob's Burgers. Isn't that a TV show?
Yes.
I don't think they would have chicken nuggets on their menu. I feel like it's too processed.
Yeah, it is too processed.
They don't believe in processed.
You can totally make healthy chicken nuggets at home. You can take actual like
chicken breasts,
skinless, boneless chicken breasts, cut up, bread them, chicken nuggets.
I mean, that's
I'm sure Blue Apron probably could have a recipe for that.
So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/almostfamous. That's blueapron.com/almostfamous to get your first meals free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Okay. So I know that we have chicken on the line.
Yeah. Well, he can wait.
Can he wait?
Yeah, I think he can wait.
Chicken
can wait.
All right. So yesterday, Nick Viall was over my house. He was doing a podcast with me, and he was like, Ashley, you look so good right now. You look so much better with makeup. I can't stand it when you have like an inch of foundation on. What is your preference when it comes to girls with makeup? Do you like with, without? Do you think that you like without, but really they have a little bit on?
Here's my thing. And I mean this. I just noticed this the other day on Instagram. All those before and after pictures kind of creep me out a little bit. Honestly, like it's like before and you're like, you're beautiful before. And then you see the after, and you're like, you look like a different person. So let's ask David. David, I feel like I'm in the hot seat here. Do you like girls with more makeup or less makeup?
Less makeup, for sure. Someone
you would say that.
Of course.
Natural beauty, for sure.
David,
Who was it on Paradise that was so hilarious talking about the new girls coming down and how they look?
That was
so
Bibiana. She was like, they haven't been in Paradise.
They
haven't done the
like
sweat.
Paradise.
They don't smell like Paradise. But you know, Tia and Bibi were totally rocking the natural look, and I think they look so good.
Yeah. David, we got to start this conversation off right. On a scale of 1 to... Now, you're an educated guy. On a A, B, C, D scale... What do you grade yourself on your performance in Paradise?
F, for sure.
I'm glad you said that.
F.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is why we actually love you.
Oh my God. Wait, Ben.
Are we watching the same show? I failed completely.
Yeah.
Read him the email we got. Have it there?
Yeah, somebody pull up the email here. David,
I'm
a man chat. Ashley's going to look up this email. Why an F?
I mean, first of all, the level of giving the cake to Jenna and then the birthday dog to Jenna. I don't know. I didn't feel great. I didn't develop anything with a single person. Chelsea and I had something good going for a little while, but nonetheless.
But did you kiss?
And yeah, we did. They didn't show any of it, but we had a good time together, you know? We did have a lot of fun, and we had something special going for a little bit, and I liked it. Didn't go in that direction, so it's kind of a past fail grade for me, and I absolutely failed.
David, you know I love you. I mean, I do. I really like you a lot. But there was these moments during Paradise. Like, it was a very hard relationship for you and I as I was watching you through the screen. Because you'd have moments where I was like, that's the David I know and love. Like, he's confiding in people, and he's talking to people, and he's a sounding board for hard conversations, and he's wise and intelligent. And then you would just F it up. Bad.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard for me to watch, too, because I know there's a different person there, too. And then it's like... Oh, man, who is this guy?
Why? Where does it come from?
I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not meant to be on television.
Don't say that. David, don't say that. I don't know if I could have got through this year without watching you on television.
David, you better be on Winter Games if they do it again.
Oh, you guys are too sweet. Not only both.
Why do you think you're so susceptible to producer pressure?
I'm so... What are you talking about?
You didn't get that dog on your own. You didn't get that dog on your own.
But let's break this down here. One second. We can all blame producers, and I've said this before, and I'll stand firm on this.
I never acknowledge the producers, but like, yeah, when it's something like you giving her two
but
gifts,
but he doesn't need to say yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the dilemma. Okay. Uh-huh. Of course, it's in everybody's best interest to go, here's a grand idea. Like, you should do it, and we could all just say yes, and it would be a crazy show. Or
that's why I said, why is he
say,
so susceptible?
I don't believe in this. I can't do this. And they'll say, oh, okay. Like, totally cool. You do your thing. So, David, let's go back to that question. Let's not blame producers. Let's blame you.
Yeah.
no, 100% willing to take complete responsibility
that's
for
what
all
we
my
love
actions
you.
There.
All
definitely.
Right.
I mean, you know, sure, they give you suggestions on what to do, but you can absolutely say no. You can absolutely say yes. And whatever is within the realm of and the scope of whatever I want to do, I'm comfortable with. So absolutely, you know, take responsibility for my actions.
That didn't answer Ashley's question. Why are you so susceptible to do the literally worst possible thing in a situation?
Oh, man. I don't know. Ashley, I wish I could have a better answer for you, but I don't know.
You're about to go take a class right now. I didn't know that you were in school. Is it a class on how to...
I'm about to jump
to behave.
Into economic theory class.
What school?
The University of Miami. You guys are more than welcome down here. It's beautiful. It's
did your mommy make your lunch?
Oh, my God. No, she didn't, unfortunately. It would be a lot better than what I ate, though.
Does your mommy make you dinner every night?
I actually cooked Blue Apron last night.
All right, David. How much time we got with you?
I can hang out for a little while with you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so,
I'm talking with you.
Wait, are you, like, enrolled in school?
Yeah, I'm getting my MBA at the University of Miami.
Oh, cool.
He just continues to get better. This guy's marriage material.
Yeah, you are.
The chicken is marriage material. David, I love you. You know that. Like, I'm so angry with you sometimes because I know there's so much in there and you do the exact things that bother me most about people. And then I just see where your heart's at and I talk to you and I'm like, I get it. Like, you don't want to make Jordan's life miserable either, do you?
No, 100% not. 100% not. I actually like the guy. He's pretty funny.
Okay. No, now you went too far. Do you really like him?
I accept him for, you know, what he is. I would never want to date the same person as him, but, you know, he's actually kind of funny.
Well, then why did you go after Jenna?
Yeah, because at that time, like, you know, Jenna had just walked onto the beach, a new personality, new person there. Why not try to get to know her? And she had been there for, what, less than 12 hours by the time that, you know, I talked to her. So, you know, I wanted to get to know everyone there. I tried to become friends with everyone.
No, David, you gave her a cake, and then the next day you gave her a dog.
Yeah, don't back off of this, David. Ashley, get him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good gesture, and I clearly got her attention. So, in some respect, it worked. But, you know, I really didn't know Jordan's level of interest in her at that point, to be completely honest. Watching it back, obviously, you can see it. But I wasn't really part of those conversations there, so that's not really something I was able to see.
They had a cosmic connection. What did you feel like when he went to go dump the dog in the water?
Oh, my God. I was sitting there cringing. Like, what did I just do?
Oh, so you knew you were wrong there. That's what I was wondering. When you were watching him doing that, were you saying, I messed this up, or I knew this was going to be the outcome?
Yeah.
No, I'm not naive. I knew that was going to be the outcome, and I just didn't know the level that he was going to take it. And, yeah, he took it pretty far.
David, I cannot believe that we've watched you for 2 seasons. And this is still the storyline playing out. Like,
I know, it's so dumb.
It's so crazy. I mean, you're literally sitting on a couch watching this poor man say, you little chicken, like, I cannot seem to just get away from you. Like, I'm not interested in making your life hell anymore. And all you're doing is making my life it. And as a result, I am so upset. Okay, so here's your out. And this is where things got real. We talked about it last week on the podcast. So then Jordan goes up to where everybody's sitting after this encounter with you. And he's getting laughed at because it is pretty funny. Like, well said, you know, it's one of the funniest things he's ever witnessed with his own eyes. But Jordan was actually upset. And so there's a moment that got really real where he actually kind of lashes out at the people sitting in the room. What were your feelings watching that, this little thing that you're pulling, and then all of a sudden it gets real, real fast?
Yeah, that's where I was like, oh, man, what did I just do? And, like, actual, like, real emotion hit me because I felt like I was the cause of that. You know, I felt like I was the cause of some women being lashed at. And that's really where it, you know, went from kind of a playful type thing to, you know, actual real stuff. And, you know, I sat there and I was like, Jordan, come on, man. You don't need to say these things. If you're mad at anyone, be mad at me. Don't yell at Jubilee. Don't yell at Chelsea. And, you know, they didn't show it, but I actually went down to the beach and, you know, had a chat with Jordan. And I said, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that, you know, for that to happen. And, you know, he apologized. They showed the apology. And at that point, that's when things got real. And that was never my intended action. And I didn't want that consequence.
Ash, I think as viewers here, because David's biased, outside of this one encounter for Jordan, he has the best redemption story in Paradise. Like, I find myself really enjoying him and really rooting for him to find love down there.
He's been great. The only thing he really messed up on that he seemed to kind of get away with was when he was planning with Chris that whole audition process for Chris's girls. He was like, you have an appetizer with her and then you'll have dinner with her.
Like that
that was the only time that Jordan really...
And the big meltdown.
That too. Yeah, I think Ben's talking about besides the meltdown. Yeah. But like, yeah, it was overlooked that he was part of that whole Chris thing.
Yeah.
Agreed.
David, do you like Chris?
Yeah, no, I do like Chris. But the only other thing I'll add was, you know, I also didn't love when he put Annalise on the back burner. I thought he could have done better in that situation. He was honest with her, but never want to tell a woman that, you know, she's second choice.
This is David. Okay. This is where we get confused. I'll stop you there, because last week I was confused on our podcast talking to Annalise about how these guys get away with kissing multiple people and how these women get away with kissing multiple people and how if you, as long as you're not committed, then it's fair game to do what you want with who you want, when you want.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that by him being honest and telling her, hey, like, I'm into you, but like not that much, that was wrong?
He's saying that he should say, I'm into you, but not that much, but not say blatantly, you're my second place.
Oh, the poor guy's just too honest.
Blatantly, like, you're my second choice. And, you know, the way I treat Paradise was, which, you know, whether it was a good strategy or a bad strategy, I never wanted to kiss multiple people. You know, I was there to potentially develop a relationship with one person, and, you know, that's what happened. I only kissed Chelsea. You know, I only, you know, went in that route. And, you know, I just felt like it was wrong for Jordan to say, you know, kind of back burner type material type thing.
But, you know, here you are with Jordan's name in your mouth again.
Gosh,
I'm just kidding with you.
I wanted to follow up on what Ashley asked about Chris, because everybody keeps telling us Chris is a great guy. Chris is so cool.
Yeah.
But he comes across
repulsive.
Cuckoo. Like totally, like jerky. Like what he did to Tia just seemed jerky.
Yeah, but like there's like also something in his eyes that makes me scared.
You don't like the headband?
The headband doesn't help things.
With the headband and the crazy eyes.
I like the headband.
I think Chris does mean well. I really like him as a person, and I think that in that environment situation, you know, same thing on The Bachelorette, kind of lost his mind a little bit, played into the whole storyline, played into the situation, you know, kind of the same thing happened. And, you know, like watching it back, it was hard to hear some of the things that he said, especially you know, about women and the whole Neil thing. That, you know, that was awful, and how he treated Tia. So looking back on it, I'm sure he has a ton of regret, but he is a good guy and does mean well at heart.
I don't know. I just can't wait till we get somebody in here. David, I thought it would be you. We would ask you a question like that. You'd be like, yeah, he just sucks. I can't wait till that day. That's going to be a good. No, that'll be one that we promote.
Then are you saying that you think that Leo sucks? I guess we're just trying to get you to say that somebody sucks.
I mean, in Paradise, in Mexico, Leo definitely sucks. You know, he did some not so great things, and you know, in the when he got into the fight at the cocktail party with Joe, he definitely went over the top.
I think what it's absolutely incredible to me how Paradise brings out the most vicious of personalities, especially when it comes to dating. Leo, we got to get Leo on the podcast. I got to talk to him. You know, David, you and I have kind of hashed it out, worked it out. I was upset with you. we've worked it out now, and I'm a big fan. You know, I have my David Ravitz t-shirt on right now, actually. Big fan. I got your face with puppy dog ears on my chest. David, you're great. We appreciate you. We wish you would have found love, but I mean,
well, he's admitting that he didn't.
No, he didn't find love, and now he's in Miami at grad school. You know, looking for a nice little Miami woman.
I think you're.
There we go.
Yeah, well, just know that we love to make fun of you, but then I also say that you are a very fun person to talk to.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. You guys are great. And anytime you want to have me on, I'm always always down to pop on here. You guys are great.
All right. Chicken nuggets, segment. Always.
Peace.
Always.
Bye.
See you, David.
Love you guys. Bye.
He's so cute.
I love him too.
Yeah, I know.
I was gonna say, I love you too, David.
When he said love you, I was like, yeah, me too.
It's like my yeah. Hey, love you, David.
We need to hang out with him in real life.
I
need to
call back so I can say I love him. Oh, I like David. I mean, the guy, I like him because he's like that guy that you can watch on TV and root so for and know you're going to be so disappointed by.
I just know that he would be like a really close guy friend of mine if I were on one of these shows.
And you can see it when he's having conversations with people. Like, he's so authentic. He's so genuine. He really cares, like, about what he's saying. I just think he gets caught up, and then all of a sudden he does something, and I bet he looks back at it at night and probably bangs his head against the pillow like, why did I do that again?
Yeah.
He just can't help himself.
I feel like if I was talking to him, he'd be like my biggest fan. I'd be like, look, I need to do this. And he'd be like, you could totally do that. You should go do that. He'd like always be encouraging, even if it's not the right decision, though.
So here's my question. And for anybody out there, make sure you email us. If David Ravitz was your boyfriend or husband or friend, would you feel protected in your own home?
Does anyone want to meet David romantically? Because maybe we can start a Bachelor David just on the Almost Famous podcast.
I mean, he's buff. He's strong.
He's very good looking.
He's very good looking. I think he's everything that every woman would ever want. So if you're interested, please email us.
He's getting his MBA.
I mean, what more could you want? And if you're not interested in dating David... then you're obviously not interested in being protected by a human. So with that, I have a solution for you. ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Explore the vast number of things you can do with your secure smart home. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do things like lock the doors and set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. My dad needs this. I was just home a couple weeks ago. And
does he always forget?
Oh, well, no, he doesn't forget. He's one of the most on top of people I've ever met. But it always happens. We're driving somewhere, maybe a two-hour drive, and we're about 15 minutes in, he goes, did I shut the garage door?
He's just, like, time. A little OCD about it.
Yeah, every time. So wouldn't it be great if the solution for the Dave Higgins of the world was, Dad, don't worry about it. I got you. ADT in my back pocket. You can control your smart home with the ADT app or the sound of your voice. Don't worry about installing and configuring your system. ADT will do it for you. Diffy, we're calling that these days. Do it for you. ADT will set up your home and multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door control, even video doorbells. Ashley, you into this?
Yes, I'm so into
this. No, seriously, like, how comfortable would you feel if you had videos and cameras not on the inside of your home, but on the outside of your home?
Very, very safe.
Like watching your every move.
No, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm the woman who wants to chip her children one day. Like, I'm ultimate security.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we got to talk
about
that.
Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
I think we already talked about it.
I mean, when it comes to your home, I mean this, I travel so much that ADT really does help me feel more secure because I can get on my phone and see who's been there, who's ringing my doorbell, who's dropping off packages, who's stopped by at night, who's in my house, who's outside my house. Like, this is a big deal, and ADT has the solution for you, all controlled from an ADT app or the sound of your voice and backed by 24/7 protection.
Like, you can just say, hey, ADT, can you lock my door?
Shut the garage, and all of a sudden, the garage starts going up and down.
So smart.
Doorman service, ADT automation to unlock the door for packages, friends, or your kids. Turndown service, ADT automation that arms your system, locks your doors, and turns down your lights and thermostat. Worry-free getaway service, ADT automation to arm your system, lock up, and set lighting schedules before going on vacation. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you. Don't take this lightly. This is actually one of the coolest parts, I think, about today, the world we're living in today, is that your home, your life can be more secure, your mind can be at ease because of things like ADT.
Hey, Ben, do you remember the movie Smart House on Disney Channel when we were little?
One of my favorites.
I know. One of the greatest. That and Luck of the Irish. And Motocross, right?
Yeah, all of those are great. I mean, yeah, there's some. I mean, yeah. Alley Cat Strike.
Yeah, Alley Cat Strike.
I love that.
What about Wish Upon a Star with Katherine Heigl?
Oh, yes.
You remember
she was in that?
That was Katherine Heigl, like the really pretty girl. Like, I thought she was the prettiest girl in the entire world.
She was.
Yeah.
She maybe is. But that's Disney movies.
Yeah, that's the best. But I was just thinking about Smart House after you
That's a good one.
That.
And now it's at our fingertips.
Actually real life. Like, there was nothing that Smart House, if we went back to go watch that movie, which I think came out in like
1999, 2000. I think we have all that stuff on a regular day basis now.
It's absolutely, it's kind of, that's kind of crazy.
We like thought it was so cool that they were like, hey, whatever your name is, can you play that song? And then like five slam dunk to funk, put it up.
You
and then it
would
came
know
on.
This song. That's yeah. amazing. That's bringing me back to yes.
And then it Slay. Came on and we thought it was the coolest thing. And it's like, yeah, that is Amazon. That's yeah. what's her name? Alexa.
Alexa. How crazy. Okay. So let's take a second here. This is important. Let's talk Disney Channel movies for
okay.
a second. If you think back, how crazy is it that you and I grew up in a time where was it weekly, monthly,
yeah,
there'd
monthly.
Be a new movie
yeah.
designed just for our demographic put out there on Disney for us all to watch. And our whole generation, if we started talking about it,
yeah.
would relate because most people watched.
Oh, we all bond over those throwback Disney movies and the Nickelodeon shows, like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes,
do you remember that?
Yes.
When there was a maze and then like a little zombie would pop out.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
What was the Nickelodeon show where that green stuff would come all over you?
Well, that's slime. Slime
was
just
like... You
can't
do that on television.
Slime was a constant back in the day on all those shows.
It started on the show. You can't do that on television.
Oh,
do you remember
really?
It, Mark?
That's from our generation.
Yes. Alanis Morissette was on it.
You have the hair of Christine McGlade.
Oh, I don't
the
remember
host of You Can't Do That on
come
Television.
Out of lockers. They yeah. open their lockers and talk
oh,
to
yeah.
each other.
I was a big fan. That's...
And you got slimed if you said, I don't know.
Yes, and you got water if you said wet or water.
Oh, yeah. There was also a game show where, of course, if you got it wrong, they'd dump the green.
Oh, you're thinking
your
Double Dare.
Double Dare. Thank you.
You
Mark
guys
Summers,
are crazy.
We can have Mark Summers call you guys anytime
oh,
you want.
Oh, my God. How cool.
Absolutely incredible, though. I mean, this is something I need in my life. I have a long flight home here coming up in a couple days. If you've watched a Disney Channel movie, maybe more than three in your life, please email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com or tag us in a Twitter post or an Instagram post. Let us know what your favorite was.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of motocross.
Ashley just put her both hands up in the air.
Oh, yeah, because like, I just want to make sure that
starts,
you like
talking okay. with them. That's
it
really
was
great.
At the iHeart Festival 2 years ago that Riley Smith, and I knew his name. I was looking at him. I was like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is Riley
yeah.
Smith from motocross. You know,
was
he was like
him.
The lead guy. You were just with him?
In Iowa. He's an Iowa boy. We played in the same golf tournament together.
No.
We got a pick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big deal.
You know Riley Smith?
Yeah. We play in the same golf
Riley
tournament.
Riley from
year.
The CW Lucy Hale show.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
he like actually does stuff.
So Riley's been super tight with Ryan Seacrest for like forever, like
oh,
20
no way.
Years. And you know he's like an actually legit musician.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I do.
He
I
sings for
that.
Us at night at the golf tournament.
You can also have Riley Smith call you guys anytime you want.
Zach Johnson Charity Golf Tournament. Riley Smith and I are there every year. He's a good Iowa boy. Good-looking man.
Very good-looking.
Took a picture together. He's starting his... He's still acting.
Yeah.
He's taking a huge step. Look at this.
I know. So weird. Oh, well, I just thought I like brought up a throwback, but apparently he's very current.
We should have Mark Summers and Riley Smith come in studio with you guys.
I just remember being in the makeup room, and he was like... He was hitting on me. I'm not going to tried to like say it in a nicer way. He was, and I was like, Riley Smith, my sixth grade crush is hitting on me.
How
pretty
did
cool.
you know him in sixth grade though?
He was on motocross.
What is that?
That was like a Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, I thought yeah. you meant like he rode bikes.
Oh no.
No.
Yeah, it's so cute. Tori, the assistant is like, hell's yeah, girl.
Guys,
wait, I know. But
I think it's right on. I think our demographic is going
to
say.
Who do you want more to interview, Mark Summers or Riley Smith?
Both.
Well, I
Riley
guess.
Smith. I don't know who Mark Summers is.
I know who Mark Summers is. He was a big Nickelodeon host.
He was. You don't remember?
I'm a bit more Double Disney Dare? Guy. I'm a big Disney guy.
I was
guy.
A big Disney guy once I got older. Fifth grade, I moved over to Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Everybody out there listening, I know you're freaking out right now in your cars and in
yes,
your bedrooms or on
yes.
your, you know, your treadmills. You're going, yeah, I love Disney Channel original movies. I wish they were back. So that was one of my favorite times. I enjoyed that last 5 minutes. I'm going to enjoy this 5 minutes also, though.
Okay.
We have an email from Ryan.
Ryan.
Guys, can watch The Bachelor 2, he says,
as
with confidence, all capital letters. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of the show and even bigger fan of the podcast. Woo-woo, thank you. That's awesome. He's even bigger fan of the podcast about the show.
Do you want to know how much I make things stereotypical?
What?
When I saw the name Ryan, I was like, oh, it's a girl with the name Ryan.
Ashley.
And then I saw the second line.
Lessons learned. Yeah. I have a question for both of you, he says. I am probably in the minority in terms of viewer demographics of the show. I'm a male in my mid-20s, and The Bachelor is probably my favorite show. I recently broke up with my girlfriend of many years, and watching this show and then listening to your podcast makes me feel a lot less alone. Well, dude, trust me, you're not alone. However,
you're not.
No, you're right there with us. However, none of my friends, who are guys, watch the show, and I feel embarrassed to tell them how big of a fan I am. My question is, why is the Bachelor franchise geared more towards women than men? Oh, good question. I noticed that even most of your sponsors are on products that are for women, but really for men. Why does society dictate that it's wrong for guys to like reality TV and better for us to like shows that are more masculine? Why do guys feel like they have to hide being fans of this show? And how can we as fans make this franchise better suited for the male audience? Ashley, take it away.
Okay, well, how many times do we have guys come up to us and say, like, oh my gosh, I'm a really big fan. My wife or my... It's the line always follows. My wife or my girlfriend got me into it. And then oftentimes they would have broken up, but the guy continues to watch. Like, Ryan, you are not alone out there. I would say that like a quarter of the people that come up to me to say, hi, as a fan of the show, are guys. And I think as far as the problem that you're feeling, it's like that whole thing. It's like guys shouldn't show emotion or guys shouldn't watch emotional programming, but you should.
I mean, if you like it, if it's entertaining to you, I guess the big question there is the why to like why you watch. What's the point in watching for you? Is it to take your mind off of things? Is it to connect with other people who are trying to find their romantic partner? I mean, Ryan, dude, I watched the show.
It's just a stigma.
Here's one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older, and I would consider myself middle-aged.
Oh my God. Well, isn't that kind of funny that like, okay, you're 29, you're not middle aged as we'd hope you wouldn't die by 60.
But, we never know.
But we like to call this like quarter life, right? When you're like 25, but yeah. You're like, but that would be if I lived to 100.
Yeah.
Like third life.
I know. So I'm getting there. Yeah. One thing I've learned is when you stand firm into something that's uncommon, when you, Sean Booth told me this, when you ying, when everybody else is yanging, you're typically cooler and you're doing the right thing. So Ryan, if all of your friends are yanging and not watching the show or not admitting to watching the show, and you're saying I watch the show and I enjoy it, I think you're on the right track, and at some point this will all turn to your benefit and they'll say, I wish I was more like Ryan. He's so confident in what he does.
Oh, totally.
Just so confident. Yeah. So great.
Okay, actually, we have a super guy fan coming on the line. But first, well, I have no way to intro this. We got to talk about Bull and Branch.
Hey, men like soft things too.
Men like soft things. Damn it. You're always so good at this. Bull and Branch makes the softest, most comfortable 100% organic cotton sheets that you will ever sleep on. They only sell online at bullandbranch.com. So their sheets cost less than half of the designer brands and they're twice the quality. They're cutting out the middleman. So many of our sponsors cut out the middleman so you can get high quality stuff at a cheaper price. These are made from 100% pure organic cotton. They start out soft and get this, they get even softer. So you have something to look forward to when you wash your sheets. Three U.S. presidents sleep on Bull and Branch sheets. They won't tell us who, but I still think that's very, very impressive. You won't believe how comfortable 100% cotton feels until you actually try Bull and Branch. And you can try them for an entire month. And if you don't think that they're the most comfortable sheets you've ever slept on, and that's like a pretty grand statement because I've slept on some really comfortable flannel sheets before. You can send them back for a full refund. Yeah, you get to test drive your sheets. This is no risk, so it's really no reason not to try them. Plus, you will get $50 off your first set of sheets at bullandbranch.com with the promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS. $50. That is Bull and Branch, B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS for $50 off your first set of sheets. Bullandbranch.com, promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS for the softest sheets you'll ever feel.
You know, I mean this. When I had just bought new sheets when Bull and Branch started to sponsor the podcast, and I was a little bit hesitant to switch. But I thought, okay, they're sponsoring us. I want to try out the products.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I won't go back. And so with that, I want to intro into Doug, the super fan of The Bachelor, on the line right now. Hey, Doug, before we get started, what kind of sheets do you sleep on?
What kind of sheets?
Yeah, like bed sheets.
I think they're like
400 or 600 thread count, but my toenails always rip them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That happens.
Wow.
No, I mean just not any of that kind of stuff. Just that every time I move, I just like the rip.
Oh, you I get it. My calluses like, do that. The my calluses on my like my.
Are you serious?
I have a callus on my big toe.
You guys need to go get pedicures.
Maybe.
I have a size 14 foot, and they're not. I mean, I'm 49. They do not look good.
Doug, you got big feet, man.
Hey, Doug, how often do you wash your sheets? Just curious, because this is an interesting topic for me. It's a big argument.
Wash my shoes?
Sheets.
Oh, my feet? So probably about once every 2 weeks. My daughter has this, like, pumice stone thing. And just...
Not your feet! your sheets!
Oh, your sheets! Oh. You wash your feet every 2 weeks? I said that was fine. I go, oh, two sheets every 2 weeks? Okay.
Yeah,
your feet so every 2 weeks.
You need to wash your feet every day, Doug.
Well, germaphobe Amy
no,
is
I mean,
freaking out.
I'm talking like a deep scrub. But in terms of the sheets, well, first of all, I don't wash sheets, but I don't know. I think it's done like every couple days, I would imagine.
Oh, wait, so does your wife do that?
Days. Doug, you're clueless. You probably wash them once a week.
Doug, are you friends with Amy?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys, this is Doug that you all know from we've golfed with Doug.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was like,
hey,
this
Doug.
Is a familiar name.
Doug, here's the thing. Real quick. I'm with you. Not to take this totally off subject because we got to get back to the show a little bit, but I've always been admitting things during this podcast that come back to haunt me and bite me in the butt, but I get where you wouldn't wash your feet every day because you stand in the shower. How many of us actually bend over and scrub our feet?
Me!
Amy, I know you
twice
do.
Twice a day.
Okay, Amy, you've got way too much hand on
I will admit
your
to you, Ben, I don't do it that often.
No.
No, it's just like there in the
Mark,
shower.
Mark, what about you?
No. Rarely.
Yeah.
I feel like
Easton,
if I need
yes
to,
or no.
I do.
Do you bend over and wash your feet?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
That's crazy.
I want my feet to be perfect.
I have
yeah,
to.
The hot
I
water,
don't.
The hot water cleans them automatically.
Yeah, and all the soap coming off our body. Anyways.
And did you know you're supposed to then wash your body again after you wash your hair to clean your body from the shampoo stuff? Thank you,
no
Easton.
Way. You're
yes.
supposed to wash your body again
you
after.
You,
I wash my body last anyway.
That's what you're
and
supposed to do.
Being in California, that's a lot of water.
Yeah. That's a lot of water. I honestly understand that one day I will probably be sitting in front of my Lord and Savior in heaven. He'll be like, hey, you did a lot of things right. You did a lot of things wrong. And you didn't shower enough. And I'll say, dude, you're right. You did some, and he would probably also say, Ben, I've seen you in the shower and you do some weird stuff in there.
Oh my God.
Ben, you have like a weird side of you that none of us have seen, but I'd like love to follow you around
what
your house when you think you're alone.
What weird stuff are you doing in there other than that?
Well, I've told you before, like, I try to shower after I use the restroom, like,
oh
you know,
my God.
That
oh,
kind
that.
Of stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
We heard all about that on somebody else's
oh,
podcast.
Yeah. I'm just, yeah, they do some weird stuff. I get it. I mean, that's okay. We all do. Doug, I'm sorry. We've gotten off topic here. Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Here's why I wanted to call Doug.
Okay.
Because we just had this guy email in that wants more manly men to stand up and admit they watch The Bachelor. So yeah. I thought, who's the manliest man I know?
Ben.
There it is.
Doug.
Right here. It is the best show out there. I mean, we get together as a family. Well, the kid, it's getting a little risque now. Kids don't watch too much, but it's the best thing ever.
You feel
so
like it's gotten more risque recently?
Yeah, a little bit, I would say.
I've heard that.
I don't think so.
And I don't know if I agree with you. What do you break that down
so like
a little
for
bit?
One, like for one, the most recent, the Bachelorette. She was making out with everybody, and
they've
I remember,
all been making out with everyone.
Yeah, but just remember, like years ago, it didn't seem like they just made out all the time. And who knows what happens as well, you know, mm-hmm. behind the doors. But it was like every bachelor she made out with, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
a little odd.
My family said the same thing. They
really?
Yeah, my aunt's been a big fan of the show for a long time. And even recently, she said it's gotten harder and harder for her to watch. I think that's a common thread. And I don't know what it is. And that's just not the Bachelorette season. That started really during, I think she started saying that right, like during Nick's season. But
Caitlin was the sauciest, I thought, because
yeah,
they kind of acknowledged she was going to like.
Amy, you've watched the show for a long time.
Yeah.
So the best thing about watching it is we always watch the very first one because then I can pick. I tell my family. It's going to be this guy,
mm-hmm.
this guy, or this guy. Or likewise, it'll be this girl, this girl, this girl. I'll pick the top three. And they usually, I can get two out of those that go all the way. So I can just
like Jimmy Kimmel
about it.
Yeah,
yeah, you're like Jimmy Kimmel.
Except I was wrong with Colton.
Do you tell your friends that you watch the show?
I'm selective.
Wait, I have two important questions for Doug. One is, are you watching Paradise and what do you think? And two, I want to ask all three of you this about Colton. Because I'm really starting to think Colton should be the Bachelor. Will you guys think it's weird if we follow Colton's journey to losing his virginity?
No. Oh my God. They were always joking about doing that with me.
Right. That's like, I don't know.
They were like, Ashley.
The more that I've seen him on air, I don't think he's got some issues.
Really?
Yeah. And I just don't think he would be a good Bachelor. I mean, he would like probably start making out with someone and start crying or something. I don't know.
He doesn't have emotional issues, you guys. He's just emotional, and it's like okay to have feelings and express them. We're like emotion shaming him then.
I
don't know. He's not like most 20-year-old guys. I mean, if I was
it's okay. He doesn't have to be like most 20-year-old guys.
I would be going bonkers on that show. I mean, for my birthday, my kids got me an application to fill it out. But I was like, I'm married, you guys.
To your mom. I get it. I mean, I was mid-makeout. I think it was with Amanda Stanton during my season, and I started crying.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You started welling up?
Yeah, it was outside of her house after hometowns. Because I had just put her kids to bed, and I realized that she was going to be going home, and I got really sad because it was going to hurt. So I was making out with her because I didn't know what else to do, because if you don't kiss her after hometowns, when you say goodbye, like, she knows she's going home.
Right.
So I'm kissing her, and I'm crying, and I get,
did
bad.
You see?
Or it on television?
No. I got in the car, and I was like so mad and let it out. But I did. When I was kissing her, I started crying, which is such an awkward moment for anybody involved. I mean, maybe she heard.
Wait, Doug, you really don't want Colton to be the Bachelor? Is that just because your wife wants to date him?
Completely. But I think that, no, I just don't think he would start dating these girls. And then, I don't know. I mean, I think that he would just be so distracted off getting further into a relationship. You know, he's a pretty serious guy in terms of relationships, obviously, because he's still a virgin. But I think that he just, I don't know. I don't know if he'd make a good Bachelor. I mean, I'm sure.
I want to watch him. I would watch that.
So here's my plan for Colton. As he said to Ben in their interview last week, he's really grown up a lot throughout this process, as I feel like I did. I feel like Colton and my experiences on The Bachelor have really paralleled each other. I think he needs to come back to Paradise next year, and then he'll become The Bachelor after that, a la Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it all depends on what happens next episode, because it looks like he's leaving.
Yeah, why are we?
Doug, I want to sit down with you and just talk Bachelor the whole time. But before we go, we have a couple questions that Ashley has been anxious about asking you about. You love The Bachelor, but do you love...
Yeah, we're going to talk about like other, quote, feminine shows and movies. Like, do you love Grey's Anatomy?
I've never seen it.
Oh, do you love Mamma Mia?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. You're talking about the play.
Yeah. You see the play or did you the movie?
So I'm very particular. Like I liked it. I like most plays as long as I get a good seat.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like I didn't have a good seat. So I walked out when we were in London with the kids and my wife stayed.
So I didn't like Mamma Mia, the Broadway musical either, but I really liked the first movie, not the second.
Yeah, you know, I don't watch too much TV except for Survivor, Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor.
What about Magic Mike?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you have. Magic Mike. We've all heard of it with Channing Tatum, shakes his hips.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, Doug. What about Magic Mike Double XL?
Oh, yeah.
That
I think
one.
I bought one of those.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, you're the best. Thanks for
coming
on the podcast,
buddy.
That's
very funny. Okay. Thanks, Doug.
We'll see you. Bye.
That tells you so much about my life. That's one of my closest friends.
Yeah, Doug's a good dude.
You guys, I just thought that I want my dad to come on the podcast next time we do this and recap the Bachelor in Paradise because my dad will text me and he'll be like, there's a lot of assholes on this season. Yeah.
That's his take. Yeah. Mr. Ikenay doesn't beat around the bush.
Doctor.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. My bad. So your dad's a doctor.
Yeah.
He's a pretty healthy dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He does take a lot of vitamins. I will tell you this.
Does he put them in his body?
Yes, he puts them in his mouth.
That a boy. we got to talk about ritual then. I bet he puts a little ritual in his mouth. Here's a not so fun fact. One in every three of you listening right now. Okay, let me repeat that. One in every three of you listening right now. So I know this big thing came out with the Almost Famous listen parties where all of you get together and listen to Almost Famous podcast
together.
Wait, that's
so cool.
I mean, it's not a real thing.
Is that a thing?
No.
I thought you were reading our message boards and found that out.
One in every three of you listening right now is wasting your time and money on multivitamins full of ingredients that your body can't actually use. This is true. Why? Because traditional vitamins contain folic acid, a synthetic nutrient that at least one in three of all women can't process thanks to a common genetic variation. Those of us with this gene have no idea that we all have it.
Those of us women with this gene have no idea.
That's a good point. The only vitamin that solves this is Ritual. They use folate, which all women can process because they actually care about ingredient forms. They make a vitamin that works for all women.
Not just some. Does it make any sense why all these vitamin companies wouldn't be using folate?
It's about the money, honey.
Oh, it's because it's expensive. Okay, so most vitamin companies, they skirt costs and they pack their pills full of 20 plus ingredients that you don't actually need. Ritual has spent years researching women's diets to understand what you actually need in a supplement, so you're not wasting any of your time or, of course, money. These are vegan, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free. They're made in the USA without synthetic fillers or colorants. It's subscription-based, and there is going to be no gap in your nutrient levels. They're $30 a month. That's a dollar a day. And they're delivered right to your door.
Buying the omega-3 yourself is the cost of a Ritual bottle. Fill the gaps in your diet with the best sourced ingredients. Everybody out there listening, we want you healthy. We want you happy. Drop your cell phones. Put them aside. Take your vitamins. We need you alive and thriving because you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
Aww.
95% of women do not get the vitamins and minerals they need on a daily basis. Ritual created a smarter vitamin with the 9 essential ingredients women lack most. Go to ritual.com/famous. Choose clean ingredients backed by science. Like Dr. Iaconetti. He's a science guy.
Aww.
Sign up now at ritual.com/famous. Thanks, Ritual, for keeping us healthy.
Let's take one more. Actually, there's two questions. I think you should answer this one about church, but I'll read it. From Grace and Adele. We are sophomores in college, and we've been watching The Bachelor for years. We've been listening to the Almost Famous podcast since the very beginning, and we discuss it in depth every week. We both love you so much. Ashley is literally Grace's dream life. So nice. She's a hopeless romantic. She's crying frequently and excessively. She's a Pisces, which is why she's crying frequently and excessively.
She added that part too.
I just did. I just added that. And she loves The Greatest Showman because she's creative and she loves love stories like me. They're exactly alike. We are exactly alike. And they hope that our paths cross one day. I do too.
What else would you like to add about yourself in there?
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Naturally, we have some questions about the show. Do the contestants have an opportunity to go to church while on the show? And we've never heard anyone discuss this before, but religion seems to be an important part of the lives of many contestants. Mm-hmm. Does the lead know where they... Oh, this is another question.
Yeah. Okay. Let's stop there.
You talk about the church thing.
Let's do it.
And then the next question
is, does the lead know where they're traveling? Sometimes. Most of the time. But I think the really key question here is the talks on faith and church and all that. It's such an interesting topic because it really, I mean, everybody, no matter if you come from a faith background or not, you have some feeling on faith. You either have a faith or you do not. Like, everybody has at least asked the question, I hope, why do I believe what I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it's such an interesting topic when it comes down to the people you're dating. It's one of the most essential conversations to me. And the question to me is, what do you believe in and why do you believe in it? Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, I want in my life to pursue truth, whatever that is. And so that's why I follow the faith background that I do. So this is key in every conversation with every woman, especially after kind of like night or week one or week two. That's when these conversations start to happen. And they're some of my favorites. Now, if you can go to church or not, sometimes I know
you
there's
did,
holidays.
You went multiple times.
If you have a Sunday off, a lot of times you're filming on Sundays. You don't get weekends off on the show, and mm-hmm. so you know when you're filming, you actually don't get to go to church. But for me, and I guess in my life, church is incredibly important. I go to a great church in Denver, but I don't get to go very often because I travel. So church isn't the foundation of my faith. It's something I get to partake in to be around a community of fellow people who believe what I believe. And that's an encouraging time for me. So it really wasn't a huge issue if I went to church or not. My faith didn't falter or mm-hmm. change. Mm-hmm. It just was, I got out of routine. So no, typically you do not get to go to church. And to answer your second question, a lot of people actually talk about faith. It's not shown, I think, for 1,000 different reasons. You know, mm-hmm. For me, I wish that was shown a little bit more because it got in some of the depth of why I invest my life into the things I invest into. And that was a lot of the conversations we were having. But it's not shown because I think it's controversial. You'd often get times don't get the time in a show to explain everybody's, you know, faith backgrounds and why they believe what they believe. So it's talked about. It's not shown very often. I get why. I'm not mad about it, but I do think it's important, and it's important in every season. So Grace and Adele, thank you so much for the question. And that has been a podcast. Thank you to Lola. Remember to visit mylola.com and enter Bachelor Pod for 40% off all subscriptions. Thank you to Blue Apron. Get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/almostfamous. Thank you to ADT. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smartphone just for you. Bull & Branch. Get $50 off your first set of sheets at bullandbranch.com. Promo code almostfamous. Thank you to Ritual. Go to ritual.com/almostfamous today to get the vitamins you need. We've learned a lot today about each other. You learned about my hygienic habits. You learned about my showering techniques.
I still want then, I want to learn more about your showering techniques one day, not today.
Actually, we'll talk about it. Okay. We're that close. We can share this. And here's my point. And this is the thing. If you're out there listening and you're like, Ben's so weird. The guy just, we don't get him. He's so odd. He does weird stuff in the shower. You do weird stuff too. I just want to tell you that we're all the same here. We're all weird. We're all so weird. We're not different. You get in that shower and you do stuff that I don't want to watch or see, and I believe in a God, but if there is a God and you question that, the only person that's watching that is the Lord above. So just know that. It's either you and nobody else or you and somebody else. So when you're doing that stuff, take a step back. Ashley.
Do you do weird things with pies?
No, but one of my favorite scenes in any movie is American Pie.
That's why I said, do you do weird things with
you
pies?
You would think about that.
Oh, well, there's if you're interested in getting a pie.
I can't think of that. That was a terrible segue because now I can't think of this pie in any other way other than what.
Well, I'm thinking about chocolate cream pie, not about anything else. I hope that Winston Buys has chocolate cream pie because I need one right now. Pie maker Brianna Abrams turned a passion into a career by opening Winston Pies. The Brentwood, California pie shop offers a range of sizes, full size, mini pie, small pie, and even their pie bites. The Los Angeles Times Taste returns this Labor Day weekend on the Paramount Studios backlot. It's a weekend of small bites and drinks from more than 100 chefs, restaurants, and bars, including Winston Pies.
No way!
Yes, the event features unlimited food tasting, unlimited, and pours from wine, beer, and spirits, and a selection of engaging cooking and mixology demos, wine seminars, and a dynamic panel of discussions, all included with admission. Details and tickets are at latimes.com/thetaste. You can connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the Taste LA or #TasteLA. I hate when you go to a food festival and then you have to pay for admission and you also have to pay for the food when you get there.
I get it.
It's like, no, I want unlimited. Just give me it all. I want a little taste of it all.
Everybody in the room shaking their heads.
Yeah.
That's a Ben Bitches segment.
That
right
is.
There. Yeah. I get it.
I was
hey,
like, okay.
We learned a lot this podcast. We love you all. Keep being weird because if you're not weird, You're not human. Peace. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.